to eternity. You just missed the voice of Candace Jordan, which you will hear for this entire half hour. Candace is, to my mind, one of the hardest working people in journalism. She may not be appreciated in the same way that someone who writes a column every day is appreciated, but she is out and about covering the social and philanthropic scene in Chicago with the energy of five 20-year-olds. How's that sound? Happy birthday, too. When was your birthday? A couple days
May 26th,
ago.
But I'm celebrating all month, so it's still
good
this loud.
When I got that age, too, I did also. Candace was from a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an extraordinarily small town, right?
Yeah, well, at the time, I thought it was a really big town. But in hindsight, of course, a town of 3,000 people. It's on the banks of the Mississippi River. It's DuPo, Illinois. And it was and is a railroad town. I grew up there. I went to high school there. And my friends are there. And I go back as often as I can. And so, yeah.
Do you have a street name for yourself?
No, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, you should have one name. You should have one actually named
I am
here.
What is it when you lead the parades in, you know.
Grand Marshal.
Yes. I've been the Grand Marshal quite a bit. They're probably sick of me there now.
They still have a parade?
Yeah.
How did you start modeling?
I started modeling actually when I was 13 years old.
How did that start? How did that happen?
They had an open call for models at Famous Bar, which at the time was the largest department store in St. Louis. I begged and cajoled my mother to take me, and I went, and they hired me. And so I did, like, tea room modeling, which was big then. But I did become the youngest fashion coordinator for that department store ever. I mean, so I did that for, like, 3 years, and I loved every minute of it. And that's how I got started.
So then how do you make that switch of Playboy, the legendary Chicago publishing and club operation, opens a Playboy Club in St. Louis.
Right. Well, you know, I had really burnt myself to a crisp in high school. I was in overactive in activities. I was National Honor Society.
So you've always been as energetic as you are now.
But, you know, I will tell you a story about that because people always ask me about this, and I don't find it unusual, but I guess that's just because it's my nature. But my mother and my father, in their 80s, you'd have to get a hook to get them out of parties. And so it's completely hereditary. Completely.
That party gene.
That's right. I absolutely have it in spades. But back to the Playboy situation. So I received a scholarship to St. Louis University. And as I said, I had done so much at school. I was so tired of school. And a girlfriend said, Candace, you should go over and audition because they're looking for bunnies. I didn't even know what a bunny was. But I thought, well, this is something different. You know, out of my comfort zone. Sure. Let me try it. And so I went. I got the job.
What did your parents think?
They believed in me completely. They thought I had great sense. I had older parents.
They trusted you.
Yeah, they totally trusted me. Thank goodness.
What about in that community, you know, which is, you know, I'm not saying St. Louis is not a sophisticated city. And at the time, we both know what Playboy meant in general. It wasn't a revered brand. It was kind of like, wait a minute, you dress in these bunny costumes.
Right.
Was there any stigma for
you? Well,
you
know, there was no I never felt any stigma because I'm sort of pigheaded and, you know, I would disregard any detractors. But, you know, and after a few years went by, I asked my mother, and my mother had never mentioned anything about any pushback or anything like that. But after several years, she had said that she'd gotten some letters that were written from some of these small town, small minded people. But she kept it to herself because she didn't want to have that affect me or the way I felt about what I was doing, which I thought was really, I mean, really courageous and kind
of
her.
Mm-hmm. How did you take to that job? Because you were too young to be a bunny serve. You were too young to learn the bunny dip. Mm-hmm. You may have learned it, but you couldn't do it.
I took to it like a bunny tail to water, quite frankly, Rick. I love people, and, you know, my job there was greeting people at the door, which I'm absolutely...
Did you have an official title? Was there an official title for that?
I was like a door bunny.
Door bunny.
Is that official enough?
Yeah, that's official enough for me.
But, you know, I played bumper pool, too. Oh, I was really good at the bumper pool table. Made quite a few bucks there, even though you weren't allowed to gamble. But, so that's what I did before I did turn 21. And then I did a Best Bunnies pictorial, which is how they discovered me in Chicago. And after that...
And they called you up to Chicago.
Yeah, and they invited me to come. And I'm telling you, I got in that car, drove up 55, and when I saw the Chicago skyline, it was like the Emerald City to
me. Had you never been to Chicago before?
No, never. No.
until you came here.
That's
To move directly into the Playboy Mansion.
Yes.
On State Street,
yeah,
with its famous
right
bell in Latin.
Exactly.
If you don't swing,
don't ring. I pulled up and the butler said, "Welcome home, Miss Collins." And I said to myself, "Yes, I have made it."
You were 21.
I was, yeah, around 21.
And you moved into that amazing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's just. It should have been
a paradise of sorts.
It's a paradise, and it should have been kept as a museum. I'm sorry. It just makes me sick to see the condos that are there. But I'm telling you, they had, as you know, the swimming pool below, and they had a bowling alley. You could order room service 24 hours a day. You could order lobster at 3 o'clock in the morning if you got off
work.
You,
however, didn't partake of the lobster. You remained on a pretty steady diet. I think you told me once, Diet Pepsi and potato chips or something.
When you're in your 20s, you don't even have to worry about dieting.
I know.
Or exercise.
Right.
Who knew?
Right.
But those were heady days. But yeah, no, I worked at the club. I loved every second of it. I got to meet all the art directors because I usually work lunches. They would ask me to come up to the studios for any kind of a photo assignment, which is how they got to know me, quite frankly.
Sure.
And when they did a Key Club sales promotion that was worldwide, they had life-size posters of me in every single club on the planet.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And I had
I
had saved
dressed
one.
Dressed
as? A bunny. Yeah, holding a little tray, and then they would have the calendar of events that would be changeable, but it was in every Playboy club.
Try to characterize for me. I'm here with Candace Jordan. You can learn more about Candace by going to CandidCandace.com. She does television. She does print. She's in the Tribune, the real paper, every Sunday. But she blogs extraordinarily well, also at Chicago Now, but CandidCandace.com. Characterize Candace, if you would. You seem to have always been, as long as I've known you, an incredibly level-headed person that does not get overwhelmed by celebrity. That could not have been true about every one of the other 21-year-old young women who have come from small towns to Chicago and are experiencing as rarefied a life as you could imagine.
Well, you know, that is true, and there's the sad part of that is that some of the playmates, because he did love the girls next door, and those were the girls that were brought on board
sure.
to do the centerfolds, a lot of them were from small towns and could not handle that type of an atmosphere. I mean, you see the tragedies with Dorothy Stratton,
her,
I mean, and many, and few others. And so, you know, I don't know how I became like this. I do think that I was raised by older parents.
Yeah, it has to have a great deal to do with your parents.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you did see friends of yours and bunnies overwhelmed, or bunnies who came here with the notion of being very pragmatic, is I got to find a guy.
Mm-hmm. They got out of control, you know, that the partying went to their heads,
yeah.
You know, the things happened. And so, you know, I count myself as very lucky. I personally don't think I have anything to do with it, but that's the way I was raised. Thank God.
Well, no kidding.
So I thank him every day.
That's
yeah.
a lucky break.
Mm-hmm.
So the art director, you're working lunches and all these art directors and photographers are coming in and mm-hmm. they obviously say, wow, you've got a great face and you've got amazing eyes. We'd like to feature. How did the first shoot happen?
Well, the first shoot, let me think. So the art director at that time was Tom Stabler, who was a friend of mine. And so he said first of all, he tested me for a lot of covers.
Yeah.
You know, so, and this one just happened to have stuck. But the one that they're remaking, that was actually a cover from 1964 that Cynthia Maddox had created.
Yeah, a famous
Playboy cover. So, you know, and also Kathy St. George did the same cover. So they must really like this image.
Well, it's a cute idea.
Yeah, it's a cute idea if you have an artist do that
yes.
thing around your stomach, of course. But so, you know, I was up there a lot. And the one cover that I did, which was just my eyes, was really, it's truly an iconic cover. And it was the hardest one for Stabler to get Hefner to okay, because it's the first one that ever did not feature a figure on it. And
what year was that?
It was
February
1980.
Wow.
Yeah, February 1980. But after he did convince him, fortunately, to do it. And after that, there were so many awards for this cover. And it remains one of the favorites, you know, in readers' polls of all time. So I'm really thrilled about that.
We have to take a break, and we'll come back and talk to Candace Jordan about why Candace Jordan and I were in the West Loop a few weeks ago in a photo studio taking pictures. You will be able next Sunday to read further about that shared adventure. laughter seems so appropriate talking to Centerfold, Candace Jordan, Centerfold and cover girl for Playboy. How many covers did you do?
Eight.
Six international.
And
two here.
American. Look at you. Done your homework.
Then you were on an 85-story billboard in Times Square, weren't you?
That was exciting, yes.
And eventually you left Playboy and you did a little movie. You were in Risky Business and
started. Yeah, just a little movie.
Yeah, a little movie. And you started doing some modeling. And then you fell in love.
Mm-hmm. I fell completely headlong in love. As a matter of fact, on July 21st, we celebrate 28 years of marriage with my little darling, Chuck Jordan. He's a retired ad man. He had his own advertising agency.
On Wall Street, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so, he goes with me on a lot of these events that
he
I
is.
Cover.
That's how I've gotten to know him.
He's
Candace is everywhere. I mean, the last one I saw her was at the Steppenwolf benefit. When you started doing this, Candace, before we talk about the Playboy, the resurrection of Candace Jordan in and on Playboy, when you first started doing this, was there any kind of resentment? You were going to these society parties, and that's still that stigma of, she's a former bunny kind of thing. Yeah. That was something you must have had to overcome from, idiots who would think that, but it had to have been there, wasn't it?
Well, from a young age, if you're any kind of an achiever, you're going to have haters. And I learned from a long time ago to ignore all that. That's just fluff in the wind to me. And if there were detractors at the time when I was at these events, they never said anything to my face, so I wasn't aware of it.
Right. And you enjoy it tremendously.
I enjoy it tremendously. Everything is a new adventure.
And you're also a important part of the whole philanthropic scene here, too. You serve on a number of boards.
I do. I love it. And, what amazes me is that, even at hard times, people in Chicago give from their heart. They will attach themselves to a charity that they feel strongly about and just focus on that and making sure it succeeds and gets the money it needs. And every time I go somewhere, like at the Steppenwolf Gala,
right,
where you
I
were
there
and you saw how fabulous they raised over $1 million. I mean, people, they love their specialties. And, they do such a great job with the outreach, with the theater and the communities. And, I mean, every single one of these charities has a story like this.
Sure.
And I'm just honored and thrilled that I have a platform that I can share stuff like this.
How often are you and Chuck out every week?
Well, he would say 7 nights a week. I would say probably 3 nights a week.
It seemed like 7.
Yeah, he'd say 17 nights a week, and I'd say 3. Yeah.
And you enjoy it still.
I love it. I mean, if my calendar's empty, I am depressed.
So, a few weeks ago, you get either an email or a phone call asking you to do something out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
What was that, Candace Jordan?
Well, I will tell you, when I got an email from the photo editor at Playboy asking if 38 years later I would be interested in reshooting my February 1979 cover.
They weren't happy with it then? That's unbelievable. What's wrong with these people?
I'll tell you something. If you had been in that room, you could have blown me over with a feather.
You were at home when you got the email?
I was at home. I had to read it a couple times. And then I said, Chuck, come here. I've got to read this email to you. I wasn't even sure if it was real. And sure enough, they it was real. And,
what was Chuck's reaction?
Well, he was pretty quiet at the time. I mean, I'm not sure how he took it at the moment. Now, of course, he's thrilled about it. But I think it was kind of like, uh-oh, here we go again.
How did you take it at the moment? If at first you thought it was maybe even a joke.
Well, I was excited, beyond excited. Then I got very terrified.
Sure.
And then I looked for the box of raisins that I was going to be eating for the rest of my days until the photo shoot occurred.
And you had to go get some sun, too.
Yes, I had to get sun. I had to tan. I had to, get in shape a little bit. In my defense, though, I do take pretty good care of myself.
Yes, you do.
So, but, for a Playboy photo shoot, you have to go that extra mile.
Right. Was there anything were you at all, Candace? I know I was there when you did it, and you were having a great time.
Yeah.
Was there anything intimidating about it?
Well,
I mean, you're not totally naked.
No. I have a little pink jumpsuit on, which coincidentally, when they sent me this in the mail, I was absolutely astounded that they could find something that was the exact replica of something I wore almost 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that was amazing. But they have fabulous stylists. But the funny part of this was because I had never worked with this photographer before. His name is Ryan Lowry, and he's
a nice kid.
Nice kid and very helpful. And But the first thing he said to me was, boy, you're really brave to do something like this. And I thought, well, he's kind of right. I am brave. But then the next comment he said was, he says, you know, my grandpa had a key back in the 40s for the Playboy clubs. And I thought, uh-oh, Playboy clubs, of course, didn't come around until
the 60s. Yeah.
And then my next thought was, Cooper Hefner's got a big job ahead of him getting millennials on board for this whole
notion. And they're doing, boy, at last count, about 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 6, maybe 7 reshoots of covers. Mm-hmm. These are reshoots of covers. They're not reshoots of the centerfolds.
Right. They're covers.
They are covers where most of the women are not totally nude.
No.
But still.
They're evocative photos.
Yeah. And it's 30 years later.
But,
Cooper got this idea, and he went to his dad. And his dad has always been of a mind, as you've told me, that once a playmate, always a playmate.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, when journalists or there's any write-ups or there's any interviews, he absolutely insists you do not use the word former playmate. I mean, he is adamant about that. So it's kind of thrilling to see him putting his money where his mouth is as far as that his philosophy goes. And I'm really proud of the fact that you don't have to be 20 years old to be somebody of interest to Playboy.
Yeah.
And also that they don't throw away people that brought them to the party. You know, this is a part of their charm. This is a part that this is one of the reasons that they've kept so many, a mix of fans, old and new. And I think it's just a brilliant idea to do this.
You are kind of, I don't know if it's official or not, but you're kind of an ambassador for Playboy. You're still invited to the mansion in LA for various parties. That's an unofficial kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just that you were a former playmate and you get to go.
Well, I also have a big mouth, you know, and I write usually about all the things that I attend. And I mean, Cooper personally thanked me for one of the interviews I did here on WCIU, I mean, which was really nice. And, you know, when his dad's documentary, American Playboy, premiered here, you know, at the Chicago
Film Festival,
I introduced it. So,
What do you think of him? I got to know him a little while he was here, too. He was
Cooper,
on
I think
Williams
he's the
show.
Knight in shining armor for the magazine.
Yeah, I do,
I think that he's got his father's sensibilities with a 21st century attitude, and I think that's the combination the magazine needs to go forward.
Now, have you seen your photos?
Well, that's a really good question. No, I haven't.
So you will see them when they launch this.
Along with everybody
whatever
else.
They're going to call it, Playmates Revisited. No, I don't know what they're going to call
it. I don't know either.
It's going to be soon, though.
It's going to be
it's
scary.
Likely to be a week from today.
Yeah, I wish I could get my hands on that thing before they do it so I could okay.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? For that? Playboy
yeah,
is
no.
so proprietary about
yes,
that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Have you talked to any of the other
I know of one. Well, I asked them what other Playmates did they choose, and they were very tight-lipped about it. I mean, this is all a big secret.
I'll bet, sure.
But I know for sure that Monique St. Pierre, a friend of mine, is doing a remake, and as is Charlotte Kemp, who I just worked a Hollywood show with here in Chicago. So, and they're darling girls. They're beautiful. They have great figures. And so it'll be interesting to see who they chose to revisit.
Yeah. What do you think this is? When it launches, and it's going to launch, I think, just it's online. And there will be this spread, and it will tell people what you do and what you have done, what you've been doing. Talk to me about the jolt that you must have felt when that first cover came out. And you might have seen it as a magazine. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't get to okay photos
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. It was a magazine.
What was that like for you?
It was, I'd done other magazine covers before, and I wasn't new to the world of modeling to see your picture.
Yeah,
you know, I'd already had the center, you know, the billboard in Times Square, but to see this magazine, and Playboy obviously has a completely different impact than anything else in the world.
Question.
And I immediately started getting fan mail like you can't imagine. It was like the scene from Harry Potter where all those letters fly through the mailbox, and it was a jolt. You're right, but it was a good jolt, and it was. And I still have fans. I still get fan letters. People ask me to sign magazines, and it's a thrill. And I'm really honored to be a part of Playboy, and especially as long as I've been involved, I'm really happy about
you're
it.
You're likely to get letters again. You're likely to get letters from young men saying, "I fell in love with you when I saw you."
Yeah, my grandfather had your photo on his shed wall.
Yes, and I've really wondered whatever happened to you. You're going to answer all those letters, aren't you?
I'm going to try, for sure. I always do. Yeah.
Candace Jordan, you're something, I'll tell you. You are really something. How's your TV life going? I know
it's
you
going
do.
Well. I have an internet show. It's called Candid Candace TV on YouTube, and I've won awards with it. 2 Telly Awards, the Chicago International Film Festival Television Award, and you know, I love doing it. I host it. I edit it. I create it. And the last interview was with Woody Allen. That was my second interview with him. And so, yeah, I mean, whenever somebody interesting comes to town, I try to make sure that I cover it.
And how's the Tribune treating you?
Fabulous. On June 19th, I wrote this down, I'll be celebrating 6 years with my social column.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So. Have you grown as a writer since you've been here, do you think?
Well, you know, the more you write, the more you learn.
No and,
you
question, know, you're so. Exercising those same muscles over mm-hmm. and over. And do you get, just had that nice guy, Bob, on who ran the yacht, the harbors. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get people saying, hey, I'll pay you $10,000 to cover my event? Do you ever get offered?
No,
really?
I haven't. No, I haven't. God, now I'm starting to think,
what's wrong
with me?
What's wrong? They don't like the column enough?
Yeah, no, but I get lots of requests. You know, people send darling press releases, you know, pleading, and I wish I could cover every single one of them. And actually, though, the ones that I don't cover on a weekly basis in the Tribune, I do cover on my blog.
Right.
So,
and you do, yeah, extensively.
Yeah,
extensively,
and it gives me a great outlet. And so, yeah.
And you know, the other thing, there was a day in this town when a lot of people cover the beat you're on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they don't anymore.
I know.
And I think it's ridiculous because
there's so much going on in Chicago.
No kidding. And you point, and what you do is you highlight the philanthropic nature mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah.
Not just the fun and not mm-hmm. just who performed and all that stuff, but mm-hmm. how much money was raised for good causes.
Yep. Thank
Candace you. Jordan, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Ongoing.
And yes, the ongoing birthday, the never-ending birthday of Candace Jordan. Just start, explore this lovely woman by going to candidcandace.com and read next Sunday's arts and entertainment section, because I will have a story to give you some insight into what it was like to be in a photo studio on the Near West Side and reprise her famous cover. So
thank you.
Look for that, too.